Tau, and welcome to another edition of South Pacific Muscle. Mike and myself, as usual, joined with very special guests today, Ephraim Gudgeon. Welcome on board, Ephraim.
Kia ora, brothers. Thank you for having me.
Hey, bro. How's the East Coast treating you, bro?
Oh, bro, I've moved to Hamilton. I've been here for about 2 weeks now. I was living in Gisborne for about, yeah. I'm originally from Hamilton.
Yep.
But I was living in Gisborne for about 4 years. I was there for 4 years managing a gym there. And then me and my wife kind of decided I want to move back home. So we made the move. After we made the decision, about 3 weeks, 4 weeks after that, we came back home and been here for about 2 weeks now. So it's been good. I wouldn't know how the East Coast is yet.
So what's the plans in Hamilton for you, man?
I just wanted to focus on this whole bodybuilding thing. Just kind of not push everything aside, but I kind of wanted to stop working and just put all my eggs into one basket and give it a good crack for maybe a couple of years, see what happens. I have some goals in mind that I want to achieve, and I just thought I'd kind of achieve them if I'm getting sidetracked with work and all that kind of stuff. And I'm in a blessed with a bit of a situation where I don't really have to, I kind of do have to work, but I'm pretty blessed where I get some income that's livable for me and my wife without having to work. So that's the whole reason behind coming back here. And
living the bodybuilding dream, bro.
Cool, bro. If you want to be a champion, you gotta live like one. That's what I heard. So
Hey, look, man, for those that don't know you, I'm going to give a real quick overview. So Ephraim is our first IFBB Pro wheelchair bodybuilder. And I've got to say, bro, you've been getting some coverage that leaves the rest of the bodybuilders for dead, you know, getting on Cutler TV. So for those that haven't seen it, I will bring that up just so you can have a look at it, because if you haven't watched it, people, you got to check this out. It's a fucking interview. Cutler TV, outside Mecca of all places, Gold's Gym, and training in Gold's Gym. Real inspirational, bro. I really enjoyed that. And thanks, also, Papa. you'd be getting coverage with the lovely Elijah McCartney on the Colgate ad on TV. I saw you the other night.
Yeah. I didn't even know it was still playing. I thought it had stopped. But, and then when you messaged me saying you saw me, I was like, frick, I didn't even watch TV. So I haven't even seen it yet, to be honest.
That's crazy, bro. It's really cool. And I thought, wow, man, you're getting like, national TV coverage that no other athlete's getting. And I was like, fuck, proud of you, bro. It's me.
Thanks, brother. Thank you. Yeah. I haven't done one in a while, but I've tried to step away from that kind of stuff and just focus on the hard mahi at the moment.
Awesome, bro. So for those that don't know the backstory, is Ephraim was not always in a wheelchair. He was your average 23-24 year old, jumped off a waterfall like we all did. I did it a couple of weeks ago, and freak accident, fractured T12 vertebrae. And damage the spinal cord. And it's an amazing story, bro. Do you want to tell us about, you know, when that happened and the initial stages and your amazing turnaround? And fuck, I just loved how you discovered bodybuilding, bro. You got to tell the story.
Like you said, I jumped off the waterfall just as all young fellas do, not thinking anything of it really. And then hit the waterfall, fractured my T12 vertebrae and damaged my spinal cord. So for those who don't know, spinal cord is the thing in your body that's responsible for getting all the messages from your brain to the rest of your body to move and to feel and that kind of stuff. So I damaged the part of my spinal cord that gets the messages from my brain to my hips down. So damaged that part. And I think I was probably in hospital for about 3 to 4 months, I think it was. And in the hospital, they kind of just told me pretty much that people with your type of injury don't usually get to walk anymore. But in saying that, they said, you know, don't give up, you know, still try, because there have been cases where people can. And so, yeah, I got that, hit me pretty hard. And yeah, like anyone might have been, I was pretty down and felt sorry for myself. Countless amounts of nights where I cried myself to sleep and thinking, you know, that I never once thought that the world's over, my life's over type thing. I just wasn't prepared for it to be different. And I didn't really want it to change, because my wife and I had just got married 7 months prior to that, to the accident. And then this happened, and then yeah, I was down, man. I was real down. And just getting used to the whole might not be able to walk again. And so in the hospital, they kind of taught me to live life in the wheelchair, learn how to go toilet and stuff like that. So my injury, it's not just about walking. I can't feel my legs. I think you had the bro Pohatu on, and I listened to that podcast, and same type of thing. Like I can't feel my legs. I think he said something like, when you're by the heat or when you're by a fire, you got to watch your legs and be careful. True. Make sure you don't burn yourself and stuff like that. Or I don't feel nothing. And so there's that side of it. And there's also, I have no control over my bowels or bladder. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know when I'm going to go to the toilets. There have been heaps of times in the gym where I've shat myself and stuff like that, and have to jump in the toilet, clean myself up and get back into the workout. So it's not just... it doesn't go as far as not being able to walk. You know, I can't feel. I got to deal with all these other things. And so that kind of all hit me real hard, and I was down and stuff like that. But eventually I was able to pull through that and find something where I feel it brings a lot of normality back into my life, which is training and bodybuilding. Yeah.
So before, I did a bit of back, rereading your backstory, and you're a competitive swimmer, national level swimmer. Yep. You trained in the gym, but you know, you weren't really bodybuilding. You liked the bodybuilding physique, but yep, tell a story of how you decided wheelchair bodybuilding was how you were going to go. Cause I love that story, bro.
I was in the hospital, and I was just scrolling through my news feed on Facebook or Instagram or something like that. And then I just came across this dude in a wheelchair, and he just had his pants on, sitting in a wheelchair, had his shirt off, and he was just this huge beast, just this monster, bro. And then as soon as I saw that photo, because I was looking for a sport to do, I was thinking about getting back into swimming. I was like, oh, maybe I should try and make it into the Paralympics one day, or hand cycling or something like that. So I was looking for a sport to kind of keep my mind active. Being a growing up, being heavily involved in sports, I kind of still wanted to do something along those lines. And so I was looking for a sport, and then I came across this photo on my newsfeed. There's this huge, ripped, shredded dude in a wheelchair. And I was like, as soon as I saw it, I just clicked. I was like, man, that's what I want to do. I want to look like that. So yeah. And then ever since then, as soon as I got out of the hospital, the day after I got out of the hospital, I went to the gym that I had previously worked at before my accident. And then it was upstairs, and I just had to climb up the stairs, get on my bum and go up the steps one more time. And that was my first session. I remember that's what I wanted to do. Like, so I got out, and my accident was in February. I got out of hospital in about mid-April to end April, I think it was. Yep. And so after I found that guy in the wheelchair and decided that's what I wanted to do, I started looking up if is there any wheelchair competitions here in New Zealand that I could take part in. And then I found out that there was, and it was in Hamilton. We were living in Hamilton at the time. There was this national wheelchair bodybuilding competition. And so that's the reason why I went straight to the gym after I got out of hospital to train up for that. And so got out of hospital in April, trained for however months it was up until November, which was when the competition was, and then ended up winning that competition, the national competition. And when I won that one, that's when I really started it. I was like, okay, this is what I want to do. I want to make it to the top one day. So yeah, that's how it went.
Cool. And you obviously won the NABBA show as well. And then yep, you looked over the, you know, a little bit further afield and found that the Toronto show of all shows, which fuck it, I love the Toronto show.
Yeah, it was mean.
And they had an amateur and pro body wheelchair bodybuilding in?
Yes, they did. Yep. So after I had won the East Coast NABBA competition, I kind of thought, not saying anything bad about the other guys, but I didn't feel like there was anyone really to compete against here in New Zealand. And I was hitting up the chairman for the wheelchair division, pro division in the IFBB. I was hitting him up, bro. We got to get some competitions here in New Zealand, so could get some pro cards, or even in Australia, even that would be good if I'll fly over there and compete over there. And he said, "Oh nah, man, it's so small. We got to build it up here in America first, and then hopefully." The end, long-term goal, that's what we want to do. But for now, there's just so few of us. So I said, what am I going to do? And then I think it was February 2019. I saw a post on Instagram saying, everyone around the world, amateur, if you're an amateur wheelchair bodybuilder, you're invited to come over and compete, and then the winner will earn their pro card. And so as soon as I saw that, I was a little bit, didn't really know if I wanted to do it, because if I decided to fly over and do it, I didn't want to spend all that money and come second or third. I wanted to go over and win. It's a lot of money to fly all the way up there. So after a couple of weeks, I decided I'll train up and do it. And then that was February, and then 2019, and then May 31st was when the show was. So yeah, that's how it went, brother. It was pretty cool. You
won the pro card.
Yeah.
Wow.
So.
Cool, man. Was Toronto cool, bro? Did you enjoy it? Yeah.
Oh, bro, I loved it. I loved it, man. It was, yeah. I love the food. They got lots of good food there. The show was mean. I got to meet heaps of cool people there. And yeah, it was mean, bro. I loved it. We stayed for about a week after the show, just for a bit of a holiday. So yeah, it was mean, bro.
Did you go from Toronto down to LA, or was it a separate trip?
Nah, so we went to Toronto. My wife and I went to the show in May, and then came back first week of June or something like that. And then my wife's family had a family reunion in Utah over in America a month later in July or August, I think it was. And so we came back to New Zealand, worked for a couple of weeks to get some more spending money, and then flew back over to America to Utah, where we stayed for about a week. And then we just made the trip to, drove over to LA, and I can't even, we were there for 2 weeks.
How did you enjoy that training session at Venice?
Yeah, it was mean. It was everything I imagined it would be. I'm not really I've always known what Gold's Gym was and stuff like that. I grew up around, my dad wasn't a bodybuilder, but he followed it religiously, and so I grew up around kind of knowing what bodybuilding was and Gold's Gym was. And so when I got there, it was everything I imagined it would be. It's just I'm more of the hard school, old school type hard style training, where sweat heaps, hot ass gym and rusty old equipment. I loved it, bro. It was mean. Yeah.
Awesome.
Hey, you got an invite to the Arnold, didn't you? But I guess COVID
put the kibosh on that. Yep, I've actually got an invite, not unofficial. I've got an unofficial invite for it this year. We're just waiting to hear back on the dates to see when that will be. It was supposed to be like just the weekend just gone, I think it was supposed to be March 7th or something like that. But then they postponed it indefinitely. So I started cutting beginning of the year in hopes of doing the show. And and then it got postponed, so I'm still kind of up in the air with that. I don't know.
I've got a question for you, bro, because like, fuck, you've got around, you've traveled more than most people travel in a lifetime, for some people, to be fair. But have you always kind of been that go out and get it sort of thing, or was that that moment that you went, fuck, I'm gonna make the most of every moment,
Yeah, I'd say I've always been like that, but not to this extent though. I had a goal of going to the Olympics for swimming when I was younger. Obviously, that didn't happen. But it was different then because I didn't really love, I enjoyed swimming, but I didn't enjoy it like how I enjoy training and bodybuilding and that kind of thing. So I've always been one to make huge, massive goals. I've always been like that, but it's not until this bodybuilding thing where I kind of, like, everything kind of just switched on for me. I think my accident and being in the wheelchair has given me I don't want to be defined as someone who's in a wheelchair.
Yeah, bro.
I just want to be looked at just a normal person who has achieved huge goals.
I think, more than both of us.
Hell yeah.
and I genuinely feel like that. Like I look at your achievements and I'm like, fuck, this is a guy that has fucking taken things and just fucking run with it and dedicated himself and achieved such a lot in such a short period of time. And I'm kind of going, fuck, what's the future hold for this guy? You know? I mean, that's like a genuine thing. Like when you see people on that trajectory, it's quite exciting from the sidelines, you know, being someone that, you know, is fanatical about bodybuilding. And to me, you know, you're another bodybuilder doing exactly the thing that we love doing, but you're having some real success and it's fucking cool to watch, bro.
Oh, I appreciate that, bro. Yeah. I just want to make it to the top one day. When I won my pro card, I never thought I ever would, but I knew that if I worked hard enough that I could. And so when I won that and became New Zealand's first, I was like, oh, I want to take it to the next. I want to be the first New Zealander, Olympia champion. And so that's the goal. And I believe that I have the goods and the work ethic to take it out one day. Maybe might take me 5 to 10 years, but I honestly believe that I can do it. I'm looking at the guys and I'm thinking they're not much. They're obviously way bigger than me. I believe one day that I could do it. So
you've got a fucking neat structure though, bro. Your structure is fucking beautiful. You know,
see the pictures, the crowd will see. But yeah, great symmetry, great shape, good muscle balance. Yeah. When we bring the Instagram up, I'm sure everybody will see the goods that you got there. Right?
Yeah, bro. Thank you.
Tools.
The standard is fucking high though, man. Like I watched the guys this year or last year, and end of last year, and fuck, I was blown away, bro. They are next level, you know.
They are. They could probably compete in like probably not the Open, but probably like the Classic. There's a couple big huge fellas that probably could compete in the Classic division. So got a long way to go. I know that. I'm realistic. I know that I won't probably win in the next 3 to 5 years, but I believe eventually I will. Hopefully, we'll see what happens.
It's choice, bro. And it's early days for you, bro. It really is early days. Hey, I'm just going to jump across to your Insta and stuff just so we have a quick look before we talk about a bit about training. So,
yeah.
With me, I'm just going to check. So, first and foremost, people, if you want to check out, Ephraim's got a YouTube channel. And there's some pretty cool shit in there, bro. And one of the things that is on there that is absolutely fucking epic, apart from being the ACC poster boy, we've got this one here, man. Look, if you guys want to see something really cool, fucking Jay Cutler TV. Fuck.
Yeah.
Second person ever after Sheena to get on it from New Zealand. And that was wicked, bro. So there's some pretty cool stuff on there. Ephraim's Insta page, guys, EPH Gudge. Check it out and bear with me. Oh, I'm having a shocker on my screen here, but some good training stuff on here too. So it kind of shows you some of the challenges that Ephraim has with his training, but it shows you that he smashes it, man. I watch you doing those chest supported rows, bro. I was like, ooh, those are hearty. But, they're cool, man. So there's some real good videos on here, guys. So if you want to check out, you know, and look, it doesn't matter if you're an able-bodied athlete or wheelchair athlete, there's some really good learning stuff on here. So get on and check it out. Because you're a PT as well, eh, bro?
Yeah. I haven't done it since my accident, but before my accident, I was working as a trainer.
Yeah. So definitely a man with a few clues, more than me anyway.
I don't know.
Oh, bro, I'll just wing it.
Yeah. So that photo was at the Toronto Pro, and I don't believe that was my better look. I liked my favorite look that I love was the East Coast. I've done the East Coast show the look that I had there. But
does the travel have a big impact on you?
Yeah, it did. I think so. I knew it would, so I went over maybe 5 or 6 days before the show just to let my body kind of adjust and get rid of all the water. But I still feel like I could have come in a lot drier and sharper.
You're pretty good there.
Bro, you look pretty fucking good for where I'm sitting. always your own hardest critic, eh? You know, you are. That's why I want to find this. There's this one photo of you, bro.
There's a good back shot, eh? So it sure shows the shoulders and... I mean, that's a good symmetry shot there, too, eh?
Yeah, man. Fucking gold. I like that side try of yours, bro. That's a fucking mean side try, and I like.
Yeah, that was at the East Coast show. That's my favorite look.
Fuck, that's a good look, bro. Yeah, there's another one down here too that I really like. This one here. Fuck,
bro.
It's cool, bro. It's very cool.
So, I just see a lot of ways where I could have come in better.
We all do, bro. You know, like we look at our pictures and, you know, we pick them apart and you show them to anyone else and they think they're wonderful. But
yeah, it's true.
So much potential there, though, bro. Just unreal. Yeah,
thank you, bro. Thank you.
Yeah, it's going to be a cool journey, bro. Right, Mike, I know you've got some questions for Ephraim.
Yeah, me and Nate were having a bit of a chat about it yesterday, about the whole dieting process for you and sort of how you work out calorie balance. I've got a few questions around that, actually. Do you, presumably your metabolic rate's a little bit lower because you're kind of, well, I wouldn't say less active, but, you know, you're not burning as many calories for the degree of muscle that you've got.
Yeah.
Do you calculate base metabolic rate to get your calories, or do you just kind of go on what's making your weight shift up or down?
Metabolic. Yeah. I just do it by calories. So, really, bro, I just go by what I see in the mirror. I don't really pay attention to the scales or anything like that. If I don't like what I see in the mirror, then I'll drop it down. But if it's working, then I'll keep it as is. I don't really pay too much attention to the scales at all. For me, getting on a scales is pretty hard. So I don't really weigh myself that often. I did in Gisborne. There was a scales there that I could pretty much just lie on and it would weigh myself. But the usual scales, they're like the size of like a laptop. That kind of thing. So it's pretty hard for me to get on that. So I just go by what I see in the mirror, and then my coach Juro, he helps me out with the calories and stuff like that. Yeah.
And you do plenty of cardio to sort of lose your body fat. A hand bike or?
Yeah. So hand bike. Actually, I've only just started using the hand bike when I moved to Hamilton. Usually, I jump on the rowing machine.
Oh, yeah.
I used to have the seat that would lock the rowing seat in one place so that it wouldn't move and I wouldn't fall off. So I just jump on that and go for about an hour to an hour and 15 minutes.
Bro, you're killing me.
Yeah, I'm going to slip my wrist after about 20 minutes.
It sucks, man. Just you just have to do that because being in a wheelchair, obviously, as opposed to able-bodied, they can walk around and stuff like that. But for us, we just sit in the wheelchair all day, and you don't really get to burn as much calories as an able-bodied person. So it's got to be done, I guess.
Is it a fine balance when you're doing that? Because I guess, you know, because you're using your upper body for cardio and trying to maintain muscle mass, is it a bit of a challenge to do the both?
Yeah, it is. It is. I find... for me, I just put the resistance on the rowing machine. I just drop it really, really low, as low as it can go, so that I don't really come in looking like flat or whatever, however you want to put it. It does pay it because my arms are pretty much my legs. They do everything for me, and so when I'm smashing the rower for an hour, now on 15 minutes, that can take a toll on how you look on stage, especially. But I found it's good for me. It's kind of ripped up my back, my rear delts, my back, kind of a big turning point. When I get feedback from the judges anyway, that's what they say. And I think I'd say that's thanks to the rower. I don't know what else it could be.
Well, is it common for wheelchair athletes to do that degree of cardio? Obviously, we're using upper body, but...
I have no idea, to be honest. That's what I do.
These big guys, you're talking about the pros that have got a whole lot of muscle mass. Do they have the potential to do a little bit more with diet because they've got a higher metabolic rate?
I'd say so. All the guys that I've seen, especially the bigger guys, they jump on the hand cycle. They jump on that thing, and I didn't have one in Gisborne, which is why I never used it until I came to Hamilton. I reckon the diet probably.
Definitely, there's a lot to think about, bro. Like, you know, it's sort of a cool, man. But like, you know, it's just fucking really cool to see someone having a real cool journey, regardless of what division people compete in, to seeing people at that level. And now we've got someone that has got the potential to get on the Olympia stage. It's like, fuck, I'm watching, bro.
Thanks.
So, you know, I guess Olympia stage, when, if you had to have a prediction about when you were going to get your, you know, yourself on that stage.
Yep.
On the spot, bro.
I was hoping this year, to be honest. I think it's in October or November, something like that. I'm not too sure.
Yeah, I think the date's just come out. The date's
I
can't remember what it is.
It's usually in September, eh? But I think they've put it back a month or so. Yeah.
Is the qualifying process the same as open bodybuilding? You have to win a show or get points in shows?
No, it's nothing like that. So I think you have to just place either first, second, or third in a pro show to be able to qualify for the Olympia, or you can get an invite, and it's pretty common for you, for the athletes in the wheelchair division to get invited. It's common for more than one athlete to get an invite as well.
It's hard without having the number of competitions the accessibility to, you know, events that are in your region, because like for you, essentially, you know, you've got to travel to Ohio or to Toronto to qualify, which is a pretty big barrier, you know, from a financial perspective, etc. If it means going over doing that and then getting on to the Olympia stage, you know, you might want to do a little camp over in the States for a while.
Me and my wife have spoken about it. We have family and that we could stay with over there, and I just love the whole vibe over there, the gyms and stuff like that. It's really easy to stay focused over there. I found when we were there, because we were there for like a month or so. And I just loved it, man. So we have spoken about it, but we'll see what happens, especially with this whole COVID thing. There's only four shows, including the Olympia. So there's only three shows that we have to be able to qualify for the Olympia. They've got them at the Toronto, the Arnold, and then the Dallas Europa. They have it.
You need to do a few more ads, man. Get that.
Oh, I know,
that smile out there to start making enough money to
go
full time.
Well, that was the whole point of me starting those vlogs. I haven't done one in like over a year now. And
you got to do one, bro. You got to do one.
I know. Yeah. So that was the reason why I started doing those vlogs, to try to get out there a bit more. It worked for a bit, and then I just got lazy. I need to get back into it.
Yeah, you need to get onto it. You need to get onto a couple of the casting agents in Auckland, bro. You know, there'll be a ton of work for someone like you, man.
We'll see.
You know, seriously, man, it'd be worth it. And like, you know, that could fund a few some bodybuilding adventures.
Yeah, cool. For sure.
Yeah, for sure.
I did get a good pay from Colgate. They paid me pretty well, so I've been saving that up for my next comp. So.
Gotta look after your teeth, bro. Keep those teeth.
I know.
Fuck, that's choice, though. It's cool seeing that on national TV. Like, I can't remember. Mike, can you remember? the last time you saw a national level bodybuilder or international bodybuilder from New Zealand on national TV?
Paris on the net, safe heads.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, true. But it is quite a rarity, you know, like because we're a minority sport, most times that bodybuilders get on TV is for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Oh, gold. Any other questions, Mike, that you've got retraining?
No, I'm pretty good. I think we covered off most of that sort of metabolic stuff and then the dieting process.
Yeah, man. Hey,
it was really interesting.
Ephraim, if there's guys that are out there, young guys, young girls, older guys, older girls like us, that are in a similar position to you or maybe have always been in a wheelchair and decide that there's some inspiration in this, do they get in contact with you and, get some advice?
Yeah. I do get it quite often.
Yeah.
Probably the most common question is how do I look like you? How do I get abs? Really?
Yeah.
Little stuff like that. And but yeah, for sure. I mean, I get people all the time asking me questions about diets and training and stuff like that. But if I want to say the best advice I could give someone, it would probably be to. So a common question I get is, like I said, I want to be able to lose weight. I want to be able to, have some muscle definition tone and stuff like that. But I'm in a wheelchair. How do I go about doing that? The answer I give them is just exactly the same as an able-bodied person. Don't let the wheelchair be an excuse or a reason why you can't do anything. Because I know that's kind of sounds wrong, but I feel like they're asking me because they're in a wheelchair. What are some things that I have to do because I'm in a wheelchair that will help me achieve this goal? And I just say, don't think about the wheelchair. All you got to do is just train hard, eat clean, rest well, and just like an able-bodied person, don't let the disability or the wheelchair hold you back from what you're trying to achieve. Probably that's the best advice I could give someone, really.
Fuck, it's good advice, bro. And from someone who's definitely walking the walk, not just talking the talk. So, hey, massive talking to you, bro.
Thanks,
I hope Hamilton's all good. And when I'm up that way, I will touch base and probably see you at the shows this year anyway.
Yeah, sounds good. I'll be there.
Yeah, definitely, man. We've recorded all when we get there. Right. Take care, my man. And everyone else out there, take care. We'll spot you next.